Kim English is the new head coach at Providence. And this situation has the potential to get a little awkward for Missouri fans. Plus, Kobe Brown has a really interesting decision to make. One I think he's going to take right to the deadline. So let's talk about that and more on the future of Missouri hoops right now on Locked On Mizzou.
You are Locked On Mizzou, your daily podcast on the Missouri Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hey, all you true sons and daughters, I'm John Miller, your Mizzou mafioso and the central scrutinizer of Missouri Tigers football and basketball. Thanks for making this show your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. And there may just be something wrong with me. I don't know. But no, it's just my nature that I like to look forward constantly. You guys know I'm into the stock market. That's a big part of it. But you know what? It definitely carries over into the sports world as well. Been known to make a futures bet now and again over at FanDuel Sportsbook, of course. Yes, thank you, 2011 Cardinals and 2015 Royals. But I have to say, as soon as I heard about Kim English being hired at Providence College in the Big East, a high major basketball program. First of all, congratulations. At 34 years old, Kim English, to get that job, that's unbelievably impressive. But as I said before, I can't just live in the present. I got to project forward too. So I had to think, you know, what if Kim has a really big year next season? Akin to what Dennis Gates did at Missouri this year. A nice tournament team, a good run, maybe even he makes it to the Sweet 16, that kind of deal. And maybe Missouri actually takes a slight step back next year. What if Missouri doesn't make the tournament? Well, yeah, then that has a potential for things to get a little bit weird, doesn't it? Because there was a vocal part of the Missouri fan base just a year ago. By the way, I believe yesterday was the one-year anniversary of Dennis Gates being hired at Missouri. Well, there's a lot of people that wanted Kim English, and I get that, understandably so. But just after one season at George Mason, I can't say that the DRF, Desiree Reed-Francois, the entire Missouri administration, I agreed with the call at the time. I just thought that Dennis Gates had proven more as a head coach. Now, who knows? We could look back on that in years later and say, wow, Kim English would have been a heck of a coach too. I doubt we're going to look back and regret on Dennis Gates. I really don't. But at the same time, this could be interesting. Again, this is not a prediction whatsoever. I'm not saying jump off the Dennis Gates bandwagon. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying, once again, there are a lot of people, a vocal section, a vocal minority perhaps, that wanted Kim English, and I get it. He's a true son, a guy that a lot of people at Missouri liked a lot, a guy who kind of was the personification of Missouri basketball, certainly the voice of Missouri basketball among the players for a long time. And I really hope that Kim English is a great head coach for a long, long time. I just hope he does it at Providence, or maybe at his next stop, maybe in the Big Ten, at Maryland or something like that. Just not in the Southeastern Conference. Please, Kim, don't break my heart. And if for whatever reason down the road Kim English could be Missouri's head coach, maybe he will get another opportunity, another shot. You never know. Weird things happen in college basketball, in sports, and in life. So you know what? That would be cool too, of course. You never know, again, how those twists and turns in life, where they can take you. And speaking of twists and turns in life, well, it seems like Kobe Brown's long and winding road may have him end up in the NBA. You just never know. It's seeming more and more likely by the day, especially if you follow the off-season draft stuff. Like I do, Jonathan Givney over at ESPN put out his top 100 players recently, and checking in at my lucky number 44, well, none other than Missouri's Kobe Brown. And 44 obviously puts if you're an NBA fan, you know, hey, 30 teams, 60 picks total in two rounds. That's right in the smack dab in the second round. And I will say, let's clarify something here. A lot of people say, hey, if you're a guaranteed first round pick and you can get that guaranteed money in the first round, well, then you got to go. And to that logic, I'm pretty much with them on that, except actually you have to expand it out a bit further than the first round in reality at this point. Because these days, while yes, it's correct that in terms of the collective bargaining agreement, the rules of the league, if you're picked in the first round, you get a guaranteed contract. But in the second round, you can still be offered a guaranteed contract. Just like, for instance, just last season, in fact, Kennedy Chandler, a guy who played at Tennessee, you may remember that name. Well, he signed with the Memphis Grizzlies after being taken with the 38th overall pick. Remember, Kobe Brown, at least by Jonathan Givney, 44th in his big board. Well, that kid got a record largest guaranteed salary for a second-round player at $4.94 million, so just shy of $5 million there. That's a nice bit of paper there for somebody like Kobe Brown or Kennedy Chandler or me and you, no doubt about that. So that's real life-changing kind of potential money there. Obviously, a guaranteed contract and opportunity in the NBA, despite the fact that Kennedy Chandler hasn't done much in the league so far his rookie year. Well, he's still on the roster, and the Grizzlies are going to give him a long look for sure, longer than they gave Jontay Porter because, well, again, the guaranteed money is much more in this case. The point is, back in the day, it would have been a no-brainer. Kobe Brown has basically proven all that he can prove at the college level, and why not try to make it work? Give it a shot at the pro level. But, of course, with NIL, it's a little bit different now, isn't it? Because coming back to Missouri for one more year actually makes a lot of sense these days. Just ask Oscar Tshiebwe at Kentucky this past year, who reportedly made over $1 million in NIL money. Maybe well over, if you believe some of the reports out there. So, especially for somebody who is as recognizable as Kobe Brown is, I would argue that his face is probably more recognizable than Luther Burden's. And yet Luther Burden, of course, got a big, you know, Rusty Drewing ad and all this stuff, chips and all this kind of stuff. If Kobe Brown comes back next year, I promise you he's going to have plenty of opportunities to make decent money at Missouri. But I don't think they can compete with $5 million guaranteed. If he's creeping into maybe the top 40 or so, and which I think he could, by the way, well, see ya, Kobe. I wish you a lot of luck, and I hope you enjoy that money. I really do, because you've definitely earned it. A great Tiger, a great kid, and in terms of, you know, he's got until June 12th. That's the deadline. So we'll know then, and I think he's got a tough decision on his hands, so I think he'll probably push it out towards then. However, you know, I think actually this offseason stuff should help Brown, because while he may not be the most explosive athlete in the world, you know, that was maybe exposed a little bit against Alabama, of course, and at times against bigger opponents that can be thrown at him. But to me, in the NBA, though, Brown isn't going to be asked to really bully through bigger players very often, if ever, offensively. Now, he can definitely punish the smaller guys. He's proven that, and that's a good thing. That'll still be the case at the pro level. I just don't think that sometimes the spots where Kobe struggled this year, I don't think he's going to be asked to do that. On the other hand, his spot-up shooting, which was really stellar all season, he can get those shots as the fourth or fifth option out on the court, no problem, and knock them down. His shot chart was really impressive, and also just the kind of young man that he is. He's an impressive guy, too. Obviously, character goes a long way at the pro level as well. Definitely a plus in his column. So really, the idea that he's a priority second rounder for somebody, not a crazy idea. Selfishly, I hope he comes back, but if he has some kind of guaranteed money on the table, I really am happy for him. I truly am. And you know what? If Kobe Brown doesn't come back next year, could Jaren Stevenson, the five-star player, high schooler, could he be the ready-made replacement on the roster for Brown. Well, let's talk about that and why those two events could be related. But first, I want to tell you about FanDuel, which is America's number one sports book, the official sports book of Locked On. And guess what, new customers? You get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets back if your first team doesn't win when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. This is for new customers. Once again, it's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Bet on everything from money lines to point scores to three-pointers made. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance to hit a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss your chance at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. To learn more, make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Well, Missouri has a diverse collection of high schoolers coming in next year, despite the fact that they're all clustered together in the Rivals rankings. All three of these guys ranked about around the 100 spot or so to 110th. Nothing wrong with that, by the way, especially when you get three of them in the same class. First of all, you got the classic point guard, Anthony Robinson, Trent Pierce, your wing scorer, and Jordan Butler, more of your center type or post type player, but also the junior college player, Kurt Lewis, seems like a guy who's got a definite chance to start immediately next year with Des Moines Hodge off the roster. Kurt looks like a three-point specialist on paper, shooting about 49% from three in junior college. Part of that Kyle Smith-Peters tree, if you will, down at John A. Logan College, of which we got Sean East as well. So really, when you look at it, Missouri is going to, it's all going to kind of come down to the one fulcrum player. Well, really two, I suppose. Isaiah Mosley and Kobe Brown. And let's start with Kobe because, of course, I mentioned earlier that June 12th is going to be the deadline for guys to enter the draft. So we'll know by then officially, at the very least, whether Kobe is in or not. But also, Jaren Stevenson, mentioned him earlier, five-star forward, North Carolina, from that state. Well, more often than not, he'd probably be a Tar Heel or a Blue Devil, right? But if he reclassifies early for this next season, as he might, well, quite possibly Missouri is a much more viable option at that point. You may have noticed that the Babcott kid for North Carolina has decided to come back for another year, for example. Well, if Kobe Brown comes back, that might make the scholarship math a little bit fuzzy. May not have a spot for Jaren Stevenson, although I have to say, in this day of name, image, and likeness, do scholarships even matter anymore? If we can pay Kobe Brown six figures, can we also ask him to walk onto the team as well? Listen, at some point, the NCAA will probably, you know, tighten up that particular loophole, but right now it sure seems to be wide open to me. But the point is, Stevenson has said that he's going to wait until at least the end of AAU season to make any kind of decision on reclassifying. So that'll actually be relatively deep into the summer after Kobe's decision. So I really think Kobe's decision could impact Stevenson's decision, if not on reclassifying, but definitely on whether or not to come to Mizzou. Also, next season's scholarship math gets a little bit fuzzy when you include Mabor Majak into the calculus, because he did come here as a walk-on at first, but then was later put onto scholarship. Is he now permanently on scholarship, or is this just a year-to-year thing depending on the situation? I truly have no idea. So if we do include Mabor, well, you include the four newcomers that'll certainly be on scholarship this coming year. Then we start listing guys, okay, who's certainly going to be on the roster next season? I think we can say Aiden Shaw, Noah Carter, Nick Honor, Sean East, the previously stated Mabor Majak, and also Mo Diarra. I think all those guys are going to be on the roster. So that means the question marks are, of course, the previously mentioned Kobe Brown, Isaiah Mosley, and, of course, the two guys who really didn't play very much who are on scholarship this year, Caleb Brown and Ronnie DeGray. Now, how much of Ronnie's was because of injury is questionable. There were some times early in the season when he wasn't getting off the bench very much either. So certainly on paper, you could see Missouri wanting Caleb Brown and Ronnie DeGray to possibly transfer. But again, the obvious question is then, well, if Kobe's back, does that mean Caleb has to be back as well? Are they a package deal? Once again, does scholarship math even matter anymore? Who's gonna be the first person to cross that Rubicon in college basketball and just say, the heck with it, we're putting two obvious starters on walk-on, as walk-on status, but I don't know. I guess Rusty Drewing or the Locked On Mizzou podcast or whoever will pay them the difference. That's going to happen one of these days if it isn't already, and there's a prominent example that I'm not thinking of. But I don't know. At this point, if you're Missouri, you almost got to think about it, right? And of course, if you follow the news online, on Twitter, various different reports and retweets from different athletes saying, hey, I've got Mizzou in my top three, top five in the transfer portal. Boy, it's awfully hard being a head coach these days. Right in the middle of March Madness, you got to deal with the transfer portal madness as well. Well, to me, there needs to be a new job created for all of this new stuff. So let's talk about that right after these quick messages. Well, obviously, I love Missouri basketball and football, but you know what? I love to study the NBA and the NFL, too. And one thing about those sports is there are a ton of examples of the coach and the GM being the same person simultaneously, holding both of those positions. And most of the time, it usually doesn't work out very well, especially as time goes along here and teams get more and more sophisticated. Quite frankly, the days of Boston Celtics legendary coach Red Auerbach also running the roster and the transactions, the days of him being able to snooker some real estate tycoon who owned, I don't know, the Phoenix Suns or whatever, those days are basically over because now owners have hundreds of scouts, data analysts, team doctors, etc., that give them every piece of information and potential edge that they can possibly find. And my point here is that college hoops and college basketball have very much become like that. They are essentially semi-pro sports at this point. And especially with the transfer portal and the amount of teams out there in college versus the relatively small amount of teams in those pro leagues, I mean, my goodness, there's just no way you can expect Dennis Gates, for instance, to have a handle on the rest of the country and their rosters and all the talent that is throughout the 330-some-odd teams that are in Division I college basketball. And to my point, Dennis Gates has one good season and is now making $4 million a year. I mean, the amount of money being thrown around here is unheard of. So if he's worth $4 million, and I'm not saying he's not, I'm just saying if he's worth $4 million, then how much are the best players in this sport worth? Especially difference-making basketball players and quarterbacks. And just like pro general managers have to deal with a salary cap and an owner's budget, well, name, image, and likeness, the amount of money that whoever at Missouri and Boone County is throwing around, alumni, all that good stuff, are throwing into these collectives, well, at a certain point, they run out of it. And if you spend it wisely, well, that could be the difference between a mediocre season and a championship season. And then on the other side of it, if you spend poorly, well, that kind of thing can have huge consequences for the entire program and indeed the coaches as well. So my point in all of this is, while, of course, professional teams have had dedicated general managers who run the roster, essentially, or the head of roster management, separate from coaching, completely separate from it, well, I think you got to start doing that in college too. There has to be a de facto general manager. Whether you call it a GM or not, there needs to be somebody who is paid almost as much money as the head coach, by the way. Certainly millions of dollars at this point, because that's how important the transfer portal is. That's how important high school recruiting and evaluation is. If you can get that stuff right, I mean, all that money's going to pay for itself. That's pretty obvious at a certain point. You'll have more and more people coming through the gates at Faurot Field, Mizzou Arena, buying season tickets, all that good stuff. We saw the fans come back big time this year under Dennis Gates. And credit to all the Missouri basketball fans out there. I love every second of it. I'm just saying, if we want to keep it going, I sure hope there's somebody specifically in charge of roster management. So with all that being said, thanks for being patient this week as we slowly but surely start to slide into off-season Locked On Mizzou scheduling. And thanks, as always, for making Locked On Mizzou your first listen today. For your second listen, check out the brand new Locked On College Basketball. Isaac Shade, Andy Patton, they give you everything you need to know. Plus, big-time guests, including coaches and players throughout the college landscape. That's Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get podcasts. So, until next time, I'm John Miller, and this has been Locked On Mizzou.